Families continue to flee bombs and bullets in Syria as the country's bloody civil war rages on. The capital Aleppo may officially be back under the control of the Syrian army, but the conflict between the government and rebel forces is far from over. Millions of civilians have already been forced to find new homes in neighboring countries, but even then, their safety is no guarantee. Europe is the destination for many of these people, and some are so desperate to get to Europe that they're selling their organs on the black market to finance it. Dr. Campbell Fraser from Griffith University joins us now to talk about this terrible growth. Thank you for joining us, Campbell.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Now, organ trafficking is nothing new, unfortunately, but we tend to associate it more with countries like China. What's behind this increase in the Middle East?
Well, actually, one of the reasons for the increase in the Middle East is because the China market has essentially closed down now. In 5-10 years ago, most people who were looking to buy an organ overseas would either go to the Philippines or they would go to China. Now, because of government action to stop the trade in the Philippines and China, rather than solving the problem of organ trafficking, people who are looking to buy organs just go somewhere else to buy it. So the market in organs is really fluid for that reason. So the people will just go wherever there's no law enforcement. And that's what's happened in the Middle East now. So where you have these Syrian refugees desperate to get to Europe, they have no money to pay the traffickers, then the traffickers are suggesting, well, why don't you sell us an organ? And that will pay for up to 5 of your family members to get passage to Europe. So because of the market moving there, and because of there's this huge supply of available organs, then people who are needing the organ are now moving there to buy them. So even although the sellers of the organs are Syrian, most of the transplants are now taking place in Egypt. Because one of the unique things with organ trafficking, it's not just a matter of taking somebody's organ out of them and giving them money for it. You've got to have a sophisticated system of being able to preserve that organ and transplant it into somebody else. So it's got to be done in a good hospital with trained surgeons and an infrastructure to be able to do that. And Egypt has that infrastructure that they're able to do that. Plus, they have very weak law enforcement. Therefore, it goes under the radar of the authorities.
Now, you're talking about good infrastructure and needing good hospitals and things to actually have these organs be successfully transplanted. Such facilities are probably not available in Syria where the organs are being harvested. So how do they ensure safety for the people who are donating the organs?
Well, they do not ensure the safety. And this is the really worrying thing. Now, if somebody donates an organ in proper hospital in Australia here or wherever in a developed nation, then it's actually a very safe operation to have an organ removed. And many people do it. Many people live with one kidney and they've donated an organ to a friend or a relative. But in these little hospitals where they don't have that infrastructure, then there's huge risk to somebody who's selling an organ. The organ is usually removed with poor quality surgery, poor quality hygiene. And there are people who are dying because of the way the organ has been removed. And not only that, the people who are buying the organ also have very poor outcomes. So there's desperate people on both sides. There's the desperate organ sellers, but the organ buyers are also desperate. They're facing death. They're not, you know, if they haven't been able to find an organ in their own country, and they're going to some of those backstreet clinics to get that transplant, where the doctors who are doing that really don't care if the patients live or die. All they're really interested is in the money.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking to Dr. Campbell Fraser from Griffith University about organ trafficking. And Campbell, with this organ trafficking, where are these profits going? Are they going mostly to just individual operators, or are they going to fund bigger concerns?
Well, that's a really interesting question. In the past, the profits were really just going into surgeons' pockets. Because when there used to be a lot more trafficking happening, there was a much larger supply of organs, and I'd say a kidney would probably be sold for maybe $25,000-$30,000. But because of all the anti-trafficking initiatives that have closed down a lot of markets, supply has decreased. Therefore, the price of those organs in the black market has really increased. So now an organ in the black market is going to cost about $100,000. And because of the much higher profitability that can be made from it, organized crime has now become involved in this. So rather than just funding individual surgeons for them to have a nice house, a nice car, and pay for their children's education, it's now vast sums of money are being passed to criminal organizations who are organizing in a very sophisticated way the brokerage system. And the reason we know this also is because we're tracing where the money goes. I'm working with a number of money laundering experts in the USA, and what we're looking at is asking people when they have bought an organ where they're asked to pay the money to. So in the past, it would just be paid in cash straight into the doctor's pocket, but now the people who are buying the organs are being asked to launder the money. They're being asked to say, send $10,000 here, $10,000 there. They're actually spreading money all around the globe. And by looking at the countries that that money is going to, my colleagues, the money laundering experts, are pretty sure that this is funding organized crime and may, in fact, be funding terrorism.
And with all the unrest and obvious conflict going on in Syria, clearly organ trafficking is probably pretty low on people's priority scales for problems in Syria, if you were to make a list. Yep. Is there any sort of movement to try and control this and help refugees not have to donate organs or to try and stop this organ trade? Or would that even be useful?
Well, it certainly would be useful, but the issue is when there's really no rule of law. I mean, in certain areas of Syria, who's actually in charge? Who is it who's actually going to enforce this? There's many different brokerage groups, and each of the Syrian refugees are taking very different routes. They're using different brokers. Some are coming in through Lebanon and into Egypt. Others are going in other ways. So as soon as any law enforcement agency cracks down on one route, another one's going to take over. You know, unfortunately, law enforcement at the moment is really just kicking the can down the road, and then the market starts up somewhere else. So really, the true way to stop this is going to be increasing the organ supply in people's own country. So if there wasn't such a long waiting list in Australia, for example, then people wouldn't be going overseas to buy organs. That's how we can really stop this from happening. If we take away the demand, then the business closes down.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Campbell, for joining us this morning to speak about it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, thank you. Have a great day.
And you. Thanks very much. Bye now.